WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
And a very good evening. And it was, you know, it was so much warmer today. I could actually go out and get some water and fill up the containers. I could have done that on Saturday, except it snowed. Sunday, it was too cold. Yesterday, it was as cold, if not colder. Today, pretty pleasant. And then I heard TJ say that we're going to get temperatures getting up into the 40s tomorrow and maybe the 50s on Thursday and Friday. I'll take it. Good evening. Welcome to Brian's Beat, the original show born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. Today is the 16th of December. And as we look at history, today is the day that the Sons of Liberty decided, you know, enough of what the king wants. And on this date in 1773, they staged the Boston Tea Party. And then as the years progressed, the Boston Tea Party became a great nightclub for, back in those days, progressive music. Say progressive now and somebody's going to think you're all political. But be that as it may, the Boston Tea Party took place on this date in 1773, and to commemorate, as they seem to do every year, there is a reenactment of the Boston Tea Party. And on this occasion, this evening, there is going to be an ice tea party in Boston where folks are gathering and they will be throwing legitimate, when I say legitimate, authorized blocks of ice into Boston Harbor to basically say folks are tired of what Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the Trump administration, has been doing to residents here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and around the country as far as rounding up folks and deporting them without due process, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that is going on in Boston. I'm not sure if we will hear from some of the folks, because there are people from down here that have gone up to the city to participate in the ice tea party. And we may not hear from them, but believe me, we've got plenty of stuff to bring up on the program today. Let's start with the Brian's Beat quote of the day. This is the most magnificent movement of all. There is a dignity, a majesty, a sublimity in this last effort of the Patriots that I greatly admire. This is the most magnificent movement of all. There is a dignity, a majesty, a sublimity in this last effort of the Patriots that I greatly admire. John Adams, talking about, now he wasn't present, or so the story goes, he wasn't present at the Boston Tea Party, but when he found out about what happened, he commented, and this was one of his comments. 508-996-0500. Okay, geez, where do I want to go? Do I start here? You know, I am going to start here, because there is something abrew in our nation right now. And it's a scary thing. You may not be scared. You may be thinking I'm getting into a little hyperbole. I don't think so. We know about the incident in Australia. We know about the incident at Brown University. It is now starting to get a little bit more umph as far as the story. But apparently last night, an MIT professor was shot and killed at his home in Brookline. And the authorities, I guess they're sifting through some clues, but they don't have a gun person at this particular time. The professor, interestingly enough, he was part of the faculty in the Department of Nuclear Science and Engineering and Physics, as well as the director of MIT's Plasma Science and Fusion Center. Whew. I mean, when you think about MIT, when you hear things like that, you're saying, this guy must have been some smart cookie. Professor Nuno Loureiro, I'm sure I'm butchering that last name, 47 years old. So that's out there. And of course, the authorities are out there trying to find out who done it. Now, let's now focus on Brown University. Because here we are, happened Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, that would be one full day. Monday afternoon, two full days. Tuesday afternoon, three full days. And no clear idea of who did the shooting. Now, time and again, the authorities have come up with video of somebody walking, casing the area, as it might be. Person has a mask on. Person is all dressed in black. Person is, you know, about my height, 5'8". The person is chubbier than me. The person is lighter skinned than me. We don't know who it is, if the person is a citizen, a person is here legally or illegally. We don't know. Now, what I find interesting is that the authorities, whether you start locally at Brown University, or you up it to Providence Police or Rhode Island State Police, the Rhode Island Attorney General's Office, or the FBI Boston Bureau, they don't know who they are looking for. They admit it. They don't know who they're looking for. They're asking the public for help. The FBI is willing to give $50,000 for information leading to, let's find the person. Let's convict the person. And so it's amazing, after they offered that $50,000 tip, the leads started coming in fast and furious. During one of the press conferences held by the mayor of Providence and the police chief of Providence and a few others, the police chief admitted that they're working on roughly 100 videos and phone tips that they've received, which is a lot more than what they had Sunday and Monday. You know, like I say, that you offer that $50,000, people will start crawling out of the woodwork. Not that they have credible information, but they're trying. They're trying. And if you are, let me back up just a second here before I talk about the people of Providence, people of Rhode Island. the authorities aren't quite sure who they are looking for. And yet, they've got the gall to pretty much tell people, you know, go about your business. Not much to worry about. We don't think that the gunman is coming after you. Well, if you don't think the gunman's coming after them, at least give that clue and say, well, this person was going after these people, because that's what you know. But they don't know. That's what they've said. They don't know. And yet, they're trying to tell people at Brown University and in the surrounding community in Providence that they really don't have anything to worry about. Really? Be serious about this. We've got the FBI, who really botched it up on Sunday, and then to the point that they had to release the guy. And, you know, what are they saying now? Are they trying their best? Look, I want to believe that they are doing their best. I really do. But look how they fumbled up the thing with this Tyler, what's his name, and the Charlie Kirk shooting. And Cash Patel, you know, he's looking to score something big here. So he puts out that text message, or whatever message source that he used the other day, basically stating that, look, we gave all the resources and we got our person, except for one thing, Cash. You don't have your person. Or if you do, you didn't have enough to take that person to court. And to the point of a caller the other night who stated, look, he's a person of interest, doesn't mean that he's still not a person of interest. And you're right. The FBI could still be following this guy, trying to figure out what move he's going to make to see if they can get the goods on him. Maybe. But it seems pretty clear, and of course, the authority figures, they do lie, but it seems pretty clear that they're not really interested in the person that they've partially ruined his life. You know, somebody called up the other day and said, you know, this guy might have a lawsuit against the, I don't know if it would be the FBI, the local police, Brown, whomever. He might. Defamation of character. Anything's possible in this day and age. And then, of course, the shooting down under. Slaughter, massacre. We do have more information today. But first and foremost, I had a caller. I had a couple of callers, but one caller who was leery of the coverage of that shooting down in Australia. Couple of things. Number one, Australian media and United States media are different. You know, a lot of things are the same, but rules and regs about what they can and cannot do, they do differ. So let's give the benefit of a doubt that what might be acceptable in the U.S. media might not be acceptable down there. I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm just saying that. All right, number two. Woman friend reached out to her niece. Her niece is married to a rabbi. I like to call him Rabbi Ray, just for the alliteration. His name is not Ray. Anyway, Rabbi Ray passed on the information that it's a secular celebration, Hanukkah is, and it's all right to do Hanukkah celebrations at the beach. You might want to make sure candles are visible, and I'm not going to get into the small stuff because that really has nothing to do with the shooting, but it is okay. And I had another caller who seemed to understand the Jewish faith fairly well, who pretty much said the same thing. So let's get that out in the open. They want to celebrate Hanukkah at the beach, as they were doing the other day, night. it's okay. But in saying that, we have a case now, as we are finding out more and more credible information, that the two shooters, one was a transplant to Australia, seems to be of Muslim descent. The son, I'm still trying to figure out, I believe was born in Australia, but also of Muslim descent. And after this, wouldn't you know, the political types are coming out of the woodwork. And here is where I would really love to hear your thoughts. And this is partly of what's creeping me out here in the United States from elected officials. Elected officials. Let's start with Senator Tommy Tuberville. He is a senator, I believe, from Alabama. He used to be the head football coach at Auburn University. He is a Republican, in case you're wondering. And I kind of like, or at least I used to, kind of like Tommy Tuberville. Here's what he wrote. Islam is not a religion. It's a cult. Islamists aren't here to assimilate. They're here to conquer. Stop worrying about offending the pearl clutchers. We've got to send them home now, or we'll become the United Caliphate of America. I wonder what some of Tuberville's former players are thinking when they hear that, read that. Our coach is saying this. A U.S. senator is saying this. But let's get to the point of what Tuberville is saying. First of all, Islam is not a religion. It's a cult. So in other words, if you follow the Islamic faith, you're a cultist. You're not here to assimilate. You're here to conquer. If there are any Islamists listening, are you here to conquer? And I, you're right, Brian. Why would you even ask that question? Because if they are here, they're certainly not going to call up and say, "Oh no, I'm not here to conquer." Yeah, you're right. They wouldn't do that. I get it. All right. Stop worrying about offending the pearl clutchers. We've got to send them home, or we'll become the United Caliphate of America. A U.S. senator is saying that. Yeah, I think there's reason to worry just a little bit. I see you there. I'm going to get to you. Vicky Palladino is a congresswoman from Staten Island. That's a part of New York. We're in the midst of a global jihad, the likes of which the world has never seen. We need to take very seriously the need to begin the expulsion of Muslims from Western nations, or at the very least, the severe sanction of them within Western borders. The administration needs to begin developing a formal legal framework for the denaturalization process and get it over with before we end up with another 9/11 or worse. Enough is enough. What do you think of the idea? Are you in agreement? Maybe it's time to denaturalize. See, here's the problem. And this was a problem going way back in, you know, after folks figured out, well, the Negroes, what are we going to do about them? Can we deport them? They're going to kill us all if we let them have guns. I know you're thinking, oh, Brian, that's way back when. Listen to what Senator Tuberville from Alabama is saying. Listen to what Vicky Palladino, Staten Island, is saying. Let me bring another Southerner in here for you. A name that we've heard before. Congressman Randy Fine. Isn't that the guy, Randy Fine, who took over for Gates? Matt Gates? I think so. Don't quote me on it. You can quote this from me, though. The Republicans down in Florida, I've already started scouting folks to take Fine out because they think that he's a little too harsh. Some of the things that he's... We've played a couple of things that Randy Fine has stated. Anyway, here's what Randy Fine wrote. A Muslim immigrant burning Holocaust survivors alive in Colorado wasn't enough. A Muslim immigrant executing National Guardsmen in Washington wasn't enough. Muslim immigrants attacking and killing non-Muslims in Australia wasn't enough. 9/11 wasn't enough. October 7th wasn't enough. Now the FBI has announced they have arrested five Muslim terrorists who were planning Muslim terror attacks on New Year's Eve in Los Angeles and New Orleans. This has to stop. Diversity is not our strength. Diversity has become suicidal. That's from Congressman Randy Fine. Let me just back up a little bit. Muslim immigrants attacking and killing non-Muslims in Australia wasn't enough. And I guess it wasn't enough that a Muslim broke up one of the shooters, took the gun away from him, and took a bullet in the process. Randy Fine, I guess that wasn't enough. This is what happens when you clump everybody together or a group of people together. You get fools like Randy Fine. You know what? Hey, Randy Fine, let's do this. Let's do this, Randy Fine. Since diversity is not our strength, since it's become suicidal, I don't want you to die, Randy Fine. So why don't you pack up your damn bags and you get out? All right? You can't take it. You don't like it. You leave. That's what I would suggest to Mr. Randy Fine, Congressman Randy Fine. You're blaming everybody for what some fools have done. How do you think it affects the Muslim community that are good people, hardworking folks that got here illegally? But you don't care. They all suck, basically. Isn't that what you're trying to say, Randy Fine? Isn't that what you're trying to say, Tommy Tuberville? Isn't that what you're trying to say, Vicky Palladino? You see, I guess you guys are better. That's what it is. I forgot. You guys are better. And since you're better, let's get rid of everybody else. 508-996-0500. Hello.
Hey, Brian.
Hey.
How you doing?
Wanging.
I think you need some Jack Daniels because you're being played by the Uniparty. That's what Jesse Ventura calls them, the Uniparty.
The Uniparty.
Two wings of the same dirty bird.
Two wings of the same dirty bird.
That's how he puts it.
I'm looking at it this way, plain and simply. Everybody is an individual. Let's not start blaming a particular group of people and try to deport them all. We've got a president who is now gone from a list of 19 nations that have a travel ban up to 30. We've got people that were set to get their naturalization in Boston the other day, and they've been stripped of that right.
But you know something? Both political parties, we've been letting people come in here unvented from the Canadian border and from the southern border, and they've been coming on freight ships, and they've been coming here by plane, overstaying their visas. So there could be terror cells in this country And we don't have, yeah, we don't know.
And you're right. And I'm willing to bet you are. Not that there could be. I'm willing to bet that there are. So what do? You take everybody out that, oh, let's try to find the needle in the haystack? Is that what is
it? Well, you have to go through and find out who should be here and who shouldn't be here.
What isn't it? There's a difference between trying to find out who should be here and who shouldn't, and then just telling everybody to get out or forcing everybody out.
That's not what I'm saying, Brian.
I know you're not, but that's what Tommy Tuberville is saying. That's what Vicky Palladino is saying. That's what Randy Fine is saying. And you want to know something? Nothing against you. These people are elected officials. These people have, not Palladino, but the other two, they've got votes in Congress.
Well, it's emotions are running high. And I wanted to talk about Brown University and what the tragedy that happened in Providence. And I've been watching, I've been actually listening to the press conferences on the radio station in Providence and the Q&A. And I'm going to tell you, I've never seen so much incompetence circling the wagons. You have Fred Smiley, the mayor of Providence. You know, the kids can go to school, the elementary schools, but yet Governor Dan McKee and all the other the Rhode Island Assembly, they shut down. They shut down, but yet it's okay for the kids to go to school under those circumstances that...
Now, before I let you go any further... I want you, because I hadn't even gotten there yet, but thank you for your ineptitude. No, not really. No, thank you for your coming forward with this. So, the State House in Rhode Island is closed down. Why?
Because of the shooter still on the loose.
There you go. And why are the schools open?
That's what I want to know. How is it?
You'll pardon me for laughing about it, but I mean that's it. They can't come to work. I guess the shooter, who nobody knows, and everybody should feel safe. But if you are at the State House, you don't want to go there. And my guess is there'll be some lawsuits if something happened there. But don't you think that there would be lawsuits if something happened at a school, another school?
If something happens, public schools. Right, but you have the president of Brown University, I believe her name is Miss Paxton, who says that a reporter asked her about the social media. Doesn't she know what's going on? Because, I mean, obviously they have a security crew now that's going through a private security. They're going through that. She says she doesn't know anything about the social media posts about this particular individual. She has no idea. Then you got the police chief that comes on. And he's translating from Spanish to English. They put out three images of the guy with his face covered, and the other, it's bonkers. And then you have, I was watching the news too. I don't know if it was Channel 10 or Channel 12 out of Providence. So the reporter goes up to ATF. You know what's going on? Do you know who this individual is? And they is like, we don't know comment. They walk away. So you got the ATF, the FBI, the Rhode Island State Police. You got North Providence. You got Providence. You got East Providence Police. You got Coventry Police. You got other police. And no one knows anything. And a reporter asked the Attorney General of Rhode Island, there's word that this is a Middle Eastern man. Oh, he says he can't talk about that because that's dangerous. And then the Attorney General says, well, the science and physics building, that whole thing went down with a shooting. He says, well, there's a new addition. The new addition has security cameras.
Yeah.
But the back, doesn't have security. But we don't have any images. A city that, according to people who live there, I heard it out of Providence, there's 800 cameras in the city of Providence. And nobody knows that. And I think there's about 100 cameras on Brown University campus. And you know what the funny thing about it is? A guy also said, I guess a student was telling one of the reporters that it's the inside of the building is locked, so they need to use their pass or their ID to unlock the door from the inside. But you can walk in the building, and it was unlocked on the outside.
One of the doors was actually open because the building gets really hot. It's an old building. It gets really hot. And so they leave the door ajar so they can let cool air in.
So President Paxton of Brown University, she came out of her office finally and said something. But she says now, after this whole thing went down, now she's added another 60 security guards. Why weren't they doing that before? I mean, they got $7 billion in endowment. And I was listening to Providence this morning because I want to get updated on what's going on. They set a security system to advance the whole security system in Brown University campus. It costs about $100 million. Hmm. I mean, if you look at some of those video footages of some of those, the library and the classrooms, I mean, it looks like something out of the 70s. They still got the wooden panels. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I got you. Hey, thanks. Do appreciate it.
All right, Brian, have a good night.
You too. I guess, you know, you hold on to your endowment so you can have more money to buy other property. I'm not going to try to figure out why Brown. I can understand why they delayed with the extra security because they thought, well, not yesterday, but as of Sunday, they thought they had their person. And now they had to change things around because, they didn't have their person. And, you know, I was having this conversation with Barry. You know, you start saying something about Middle Eastern and people all of a sudden, because nobody knows for sure. But all of a sudden you start getting people thinking along that way. And by the way, what is Middle Eastern? You look Middle Eastern. What does that mean? Describe somebody from the Middle East. And therein is your problem. You try to say somebody, you know, I'm going to use the term Middle Eastern right now. You could have Middle Easterns of so many different shades. And are you going to now look at everybody from the Middle East a little differently, especially if they happen to have a rotund belly? This becomes a problem. And we saw this. I saw this. Okay, I'm really going to hit hard on this. I saw this in particular back in 1979 when we had the Iranian hostage situation where United States people were taken hostage. In Framingham, where I was living at the time, people were, you know, obviously irate about what happened. But every time that they saw somebody that looked Middle Eastern, all of a sudden, they must have been from Iran. And of course, that led to a few fights and whatnot. I'm at a New Year's Eve party. And I see a couple of people and I want to say hi to them. I say hi and they kind of say hi back, but they're very, very shy about it. And then I said, so, you know, you go to school here and yeah, we're students here. And I said, oh yeah. And then conversation. So where are you from? Because pretty close to the college campus. And they were being very skittish about where they were from. Eventually, I got Iran out of them. And all of a sudden, I'm surrounded by three or four other people. And I'm saying, don't have to worry about me. I just want to know where you guys are from. And then I said, so how does that feel? Because I know what they're going through. I've experienced that. Not that I was involved in any kind of kidnapping, but back in the 60s, 70s, people, if something happened within, and it didn't have to be in the black community, but with black folks, all of a sudden, are you one of them? Automatically. All right, 508-996-0500. Thank you. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
I am. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm poring over the information as it's coming in, you know, as I'm sure you have been, about the Brown University thing. I heard something interesting earlier on today, and Tim Dunn, God bless him for doing the work that he's doing, but I guess he came out with an article. He did a little bit of digging, and Brown University had changed its protocols on identifying how do you say it? As to not offend people.
DEI terms not to be used.
Right. And that because you don't want to generalize and you don't want to stereotype and you don't want to make people feel bad. I think that is the real danger right now, because how are you going to, how can the FBI put out a bounty for a suspect and not give any identifying information?
I don't know that that pertains to the FBI. I think that pertains to Brown University.
Right. How could Brown University not, you know, how could, who the hell, they don't know who they're looking for. Because they can't know who they're looking for, because they've put on that ball and chain and jumped into the ocean, and now they have to deal with it. They have nothing to go on because they can't.
And you know, I would agree with you on that part, but I would say that at this particular time, this is a Providence police, this is a state police and an FBI investigation, and Brown University, they're kind of there for the ride.
Right, but if Brown University can't share information with...
Oh, I bet they will. I bet they will. I know what the directive says, but I bet if they want to find out what's going on, if they want to keep their kids on campus, I bet you they will share that information.
You would think so, but people are... it's a poison of the mind.
Well, I guess I would look at it this way. As you said, think so, and I that's the best I can do too, is think so. Mm-hmm. But one thing's for sure, maybe we need to plant a bug in a reporter to ask that question next time. Since you've got this policy, are you going to share the information with the FBI if it leads down a DEI rabbit hole?
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right. Everybody's asking, what did the guy yell in the classroom before he started shooting? No one can come up with that. But it happened. Witnesses are saying that, yeah, he muttered something. Is it Brown University saying, well, we don't want to offend anybody because the guy did say Allahu Akbar?
And that could be, but that shooting doesn't mean that the person is a Muslim. I mean, think about it. What a great way to throw somebody sent off by making a comment like that.
I don't see that. That's
yeah. And that is what I'm getting at. We don't know. To me, that is the perfect disguise to throw people off. You don't get it, but others might.
Yeah, you know what bothers me is, and I feel so bad for this kid that came from Wisconsin, because now he's screwed.
Well, I think you made the point yesterday when you called up in reference to him. I didn't think about it at the time, but you know he might have a good defamation lawsuit.
Yeah, because you're guilty in the court of public opinion, and now he's going to have to explain that stuff. Sorry, I almost swore. He's going to have to explain that for the rest of his life, or until people forget about it.
Yeah, like they're going to.
You know what I mean? I feel bad for that kid.
I got you.
But that's irresponsible for them to put out his name. Oh, he's a white kid, though. But are they afraid to put it out if it was a Muslim? Oh, and by the way, Aryan comes from Iran. The term Aryan literally comes from Iran.
Where did that come from? Did I say that?
About the the skin tone, yeah. I get what you're saying about the skin tone, but I don't, dude, I don't see anybody else going in there and as a cover saying Allahu Akbar before they shoot.
I hear you, but I think that is the whole thing. You go in and say something like that. It's kind of like painting blackface in the old days to throw the scent off. Or thank you for your call. Or as we didn't see because we weren't alive back in 1773 when the Boston Tea Party took place, they dressed as Native Americans.
American people, politically ignorant and stupid.
This is WBSM.
It's about options. Instead of booking your next trip online, call Low Cost Air at 800-221-6085. Next option. Speak with the real person to compare prices and schedules instead of AI. And with Low Cost Air, booking is an option. There is never an obligation to purchase anything. So call Low Cost Air to compare at 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085.
Back to Brian's Beat.
Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Hitch up your reindeer, go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Fill every stocking you find. The kids are gonna love you so.
They've got some data, and about 15% of men have interacted with some form of AI companion, and about 30% of women. It's more women than men.
What is it about those women that they love AI? Hello.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Brian, didn't Brown University buy Hawthorne Medical?
They did.
All right.
And I think they also bought St. Anne's.
Right. Well, they just made a big investment, so they don't need this right now.
Well, you think people are going to shift away from them?
No, but they don't need lawsuits. They just, yeah. I mean, we had trouble with Hawthorne Medical, remember?
Yeah, yes.
Just reopened now, so. And then one other question. You know when you were just talking earlier about this thing in Boston?
Tea Party?
No, I don't hear about that. It's the professor.
Yes.
Okay, now, do you think this could be connected?
I really don't know. I do know that it was asked of one of the investigators. I'm not sure if the investigator was from Norfolk County or Rhode Island, but they don't see a connection. Whatever that. But you know what? They don't know who they're looking for. I don't know if how they can think that there would be or wouldn't be.
Brian, but you know, I was reading up on like the different countries, Pakistan and all that last night, and it says that it's real dangerous for us to go there. It's not recommended because of terrorism. Well, why are we letting them in here? And plus, Osama bin Laden came from there. And I don't know why America trusts everybody. I really don't.
Well, we're supposed to be an open nation.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't go for that, to be honest with you. It's played out. You know, it's quite obvious what they're doing.
So I would like to be clear. I would like you to be clear. So should we denaturalize those that are already here?
After 9-1-1, I don't even know why we're even allowing this.
Allowing what? I want to be clear.
Well, who went into the towers?
Who flew into the towers?
Yeah.
Saudi Arabians, mostly.
All right. Well, this is what I mean. I don't, all of that nation, I don't even know why we allow it.
Well, because there's a lot of money that transacts between Saudi Arabia and the United States. It's interesting. If I go back over the list of the 17, 18, 19 involved in 9/11, I don't recall. I know there was nobody from Afghanistan. I'm not quite sure about Pakistan. Most of them came from Saudi Arabia. I think there may have been one or two from Yemen. Down that way as opposed to the GANs, as in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Thank you much for your call. I do appreciate it.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
WBSM.
You know, most people are not business owners, but just about everybody knows one. The dirty little secret is most owners don't qualify for a bank loan because they lack collateral. At legitimate business funders, owners can get up to $2 million in funding with no collateral, even with a low credit score. And they can get that funding in a couple of days. Find legitimate business funders online at legitimatebusinessfunders.com. Legitimatebusinessfunders.com.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law or our Constitution.
As we remember today, the 16th of December, 1773, the Boston Tea Party. By the way, I think the Dartmouth ship had a lot of British tea. One of the first ones boarded and had tea dumped from it, and that ship was made in New Bedford. I do want to caution, as we try to find out who's responsible for the killings at Brown University, that we do have a set of laws and frameworks, and we shouldn't be blaming everybody who might look differently or go to church differently for crimes that other people may have committed. 29 in Dartmouth, 28 in Rochester, 28 in New Bedford. I'm Brian. We'll do it again tomorrow, 6 o'clock.